Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the Chapter by Chapter podcast for Children of Dune. I am your host, Will.
Hello, I am Steve, and welcome to the 53rd chapter of the Children of Dune. And before we go too far into this, I just want to say off the top, I was just telling Will, this just happened a couple minutes ago. I spilt like a whole container of dirt all over my MacBook.
Yeah, it's devastating.
And now, and I don't have time to vacuum it off and clean it, so it's covered in dirt. There's dirt everywhere, soil. Fresh soil. This is really just like a hashtag Steve problem. I'm sure there's some other people out there who have spilt dirt all over your computer, but probably not a lot.
I don't know.
Probably not a lot of people.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably more than we think.
I don't know.
All right. Fantastic. Let's dive into the chapter introduction here. Steve, do you want to take this one? You called this one the climate change one. All right, I got it. Limits of survival are set by climate, those long drifts of change which a generation may fail to notice. And it is the extremes of climate which set the pattern. Lonely, finite humans may observe climatic provinces, fluctuations of annual weather, and occasionally may observe such things as, this is a colder year than I've ever known. Such things are sensible, but humans are seldom alerted to the shifting average through a great span of years. And it is precisely in this alerting that humans learn how to survive on any planet. They must learn climate. Arrakis, the transformation after Hark al-Adda. I was going to say before we started recording, but like this is the most relatable Aaliyah has ever been in any of the books she's been in.
To you?
Yes, to me. Because here she is. She's got a lot of stuff on her plate. All right. She's got a lot of moving parts and a lot of like plans within plans going on. So she's having a bit of like a freak out because it's all too over encumbering and everything's not going exactly the way she planned. And then she has this other thing in her head going, are you hungry? I would like to have some fish. And then he's like, what about that nice, good-looking boy over there?
Okay, calm down. Calm down, bud. Of course, yes, that is the Baron in her head. We have Aaliyah really, like, she got filled in on what's been happening in this book.
She's been reading. She's been listening to the podcast.
She's been listening to the podcast. She's caught up. And she's hearing about everything that's going on, about all the Knats being destroyed, which... Wow, Leto really got to work fast on that one because we just heard about his plan to, once he became, you know, Trout Boy, his plan, he realized that he's got to destroy all these Knats and, you know, what was it, set an entire civilization back a generation or
something like that, 1,000 years.
The ecosystem. Yeah. Just, you know, a little setback. But now Aaliyah's getting word of it, but of course she's not getting the details of that it's Leto doing this, or especially that it's like one... sort of sand trout man. But it's not. I mean, he's commanding the rest of them. He's actually making the trout work, which is interesting, rather than the worms, it appears. He's using, well, maybe a bit of both, but he's using all the trout. He's not letting any of the trout go to waste.
No. And so describe that to me. Like, is he like soaking up more trout, becoming more powerful? Or is he just like commanding trout like a large army? And we just see this.
I think he's commanding. I think he's commanding. He is his own... thing now. He's his own sand trout man, because I don't think he's they mentioned several times that he's a sand trout man. He's not a worm man yet. So
yes,
we will, evolution will get us there, but I'm pretty sure they mentioned that, yeah, and that like thousands of sandworms or sand trouts were seen attacking these Knats and whatnot.
Yeah, 40 Knats.
And so I assume he's controlling them and that he is, a big fleshy one of them as well.
Yeah. So like this is the paragraph here. 40 Knats have been breached, their waters loosed into the sand. The loyal Fremen and even the rebels, superstitious louts, all, her reports were flooded with stories of mysterious occurrences. Sand trout leaped into Knats and shattered to become hosts of small replicas. Worms deliberately drowned themselves. Blood dripped from the second moon and fell to Arrakis, where it stirred up great storms, and the storm frequency was increasing. So not only is he commanding armies of trout, he's helping them kind of take on like this pseudo worm. I guess they're kind of like a pseudo worm, like, you know, transformation. And then on top of that, he's changing the weather, which is goes back to our chapter introduction. You got to know the weather if you want to stay on top of things. All right.
Chapter introduction is all like climate change, but kind of like in a positive way. Like today you hear so much about climate change in the negative way. You know, things are turning really bad. Things are going to be really bad. But this is sort of like things are, you know, things are getting better. But with that, we have to find ways to adapt. And everybody should probably get a winter jacket because it does get cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certain times of the year now.
If you can.
Sunscreen's important too. Whenever you used to need to wear it. But I don't know why, because there's like five suns.
If you can. Two suns. Predict the weather, you can predict the future. And that's why meteorologists are shaman.
That's why they have jobs.
They're witch doctors.
Because they can predict the future.
I don't understand how.
Horribly and inaccurately.
Yeah, but 9 times out of 10, actually. In fact, they won't really know for sure until the exact day and time comes. Where
I feel like most weather people must just like absolutely hate weather apps now. Because like, I'm not turning on a weather station ever.
Never.
I'll just open up the app.
But it seems like...
I look for a little picture of a sun, look for a little picture of a rain, maybe a cloud, and then I close it and done. It's like a millisecond interaction.
Hey, you know, you're going to hate...
That's all I want.
You're going to hate me for this, but I don't you check the weather, like, at all. I look outside, and if it looks cold, it looks cold. We'll put on a jacket.
Yeah, you're right. I do hate that. Oh, I'm so good. I don't have to check the weather. We all look outside and we all make jokes.
No, I'm not saying I'm so good. I just don't even check. I just never even think about checking the weather app. But whenever somebody says like it's going to rain today, I'm like, I'm surprised. I was like, it looks so nice out, or it looks so cold out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you had like a big event that you were putting together that was outside, you wouldn't check the weather for that?
In that case, I would be looking at the weather, yes. But how many...
That's the case. That's the case that people check the weather for when they're doing things outside and need the weather.
No, you said big event that I'm planning for. If I'm just going outside to commute to work...
Anything.
I'm not just like... I'm not looking at the weather.
Oh, my God.
I'll listen to maybe the traffic report.
We're like 300 episodes into this. And we're debating about how he checks the weather.
I'm surprised how... Like, I knew you were going to get mad about this.
Because it's a moot point. It's not even a point. I don't check the weather. But you would check the weather. I know you're lying. I know you would check
the weather. I don't. You can ask anybody.
To do outside. Like if you were trying to gather up like a group of friends to meet in the park by the river in the summer, you wouldn't check the weather if you're putting that together a week in advance?
I don't know. I don't check it often enough to know when I would and wouldn't check it.
Okay. Well, it's fine. It's fine.
All right.
I believe
it. All right. I'm with Leah here. Do you think Leah checks the weather? Probably. She seems like a weather. She's on top of the weather. She has to like...
Yeah,
I think,
sure. Why
I
not?
Think, no, when it comes to Leah and the religious like Fremen followers that she's cultivated through the Muad'Dib religion, she probably uses weather as... a tool to like show off how much she can predict the future or that like through the belief of Muad'Dib, you can tell the weather.
Yeah. But she's really just got like a thermostat.
It's going to be, I 31 wonder, degrees.
Is it possible? Do you think that the voice, all of this, the prescience, it just doesn't even exist. It's all just shim-shammery.
It's all just shim-sham.
I'm gonna start making a case for it. This is first piece of evidence. This is evidence one, thermostats.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Aaliyah's using thermostats to predict the weather, to lie to everyone. And I think that Jessica and the Bene Gesserit have sort of a House of Mirrors thing going on. A lot of mirrors. And also a vocal version of a mirror. We got to figure out what that's called. Megaphones?
Megaphone, I was going to say.
A lot of megaphones set up.
Yeah. Maybe if you point two megaphones at each other, that's kind of like a sound mirror.
And then maybe like magnets to make them do things. She's like, she's got a good sleight of hand and she's slipping magnets into your sleeve. And then all of a sudden your arm's moving around, but. Because she's holding like a comically giant sized magnet behind you.
Yeah.
Or like she's got another Bene Gesserit doing that.
You know,
I'm going to keep working on this case.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the setup, right? And like, and the type of crowd you have. And in this case, for Aaliyah and this particular religion, the Bene Gesserit in general, you have the Fremen who are like predispositioned or prepositioned to inherently believe anything that revolves around the Lisan-i al-Ghaib. For the most part, I mean, there are rebels that are like trying to take down the religion because of how much horrible... how many horrible things it's done to the galaxy over the past, I guess, like at this point in the book, 15-ish years around there, 20-ish years, probably around 20, 25 years. Let's say around that. If that's the case, the Fremen are susceptible and the Bene Gesserit and Aaliyah could manipulate their thoughts to believe any sort of shamshamery.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have magnets. Too many. Yeah, it's just magnets. Magnets. You can just have magnets. How about the fact that we hear reports that somebody, particularly Leto, is making huge jumps from like mountain to mountain, butte to butte.
The butte.
Yeah, the butte.
The butte. Yeah, sorry.
Which means here that like essentially Leto's just become like a raucous superhero. He's like Homelander.
Yeah, he's a supervillain for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Because like at the end of the day, when like the ultimate thing that he has to do is to save the universe, but it has to be through destroying the foundations of everything beforehand. Does that make you such a bad guy? Probably. But
yes, absolutely.
But do the long-term benefits outweigh the short-term falls?
Well, the difference here from actual dictators who have believed this sort of thing is that in this story, Leto can actually see the futures and knows these answers and how things will work out. But anytime that somebody has made this claim and gone to war over it, of doing it for the greater good, it's usually delusional and based on their own ideals. Now, of course, Leto's ideals are based in his presence of the multiple futures that he's seen and the way things will unfold, so it gets a little more complicated.
Hmm. I guess we'll just have to see there. And then the chapter kind of like goes into Aaliyah's like, she does like a rundown of like all the players in her head. Like Ghanima, seems like Ghanima is telling the truth about Leto, so Leto should be dead. However, there's this thing going on in the desert with this person kind of jumping around, destroying huge, huge, huge structures with like an army of worms or army of sand trout. And then she's like thinking,
yeah, it's got to be a weird report to receive because what do you even like? Aaliyah's sort of even like just sort of shocked by it. It's like, what? This whole chapter is her just being like, what? Again, now what? What did you say?
And then having anxiety about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Realizing all this stuff.
She starts it off
well, because
with the litany. Like she's saying the litany to herself. She's trying to calm herself down.
Yeah, which isn't a good way to calm yourself down. But if it's bread in you, I get it. But the thing with her getting the report about Leto jumping around also is that Leto, as far as she knows, Leto is dead. And this is from, by way of Ghanima, and at this point, a true sayer has confirmed Ghanima's belief that Leto is dead from the Laser Tigers. So I think Aaliyah's maybe starting to pick up on it a little bit and realize that some of these pieces aren't fitting together.
Yeah.
But I think she's still, a little too like shocked and overwhelmed with everything in this chapter to really get to that conclusion just yet.
And I think the Baron is kind of holding her back a little bit because you have the Baron like helping her kind of work through the possible people that might be in her immediate circle, but actually a gangster like Stilgar. And she wonders if Stilgar is a potential rebel. Baron is like, I wouldn't worry about that too much. Where's that chicken at?
Yeah. Let's eat chicken.
Apparently she has been living the life of a Baron. Cause even in the beginning parts of the chapter here, it says that she's starting to, what's the term? Swell up.
Yeah, she's putting on some pounds.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it, but you know, when the Baron's in there,
when a Baron's in your head telling you to do it, we gotta have a talk.
Makes sense. But it does mention in this chapter that she's actually starting to learn how to fight and resist against the Baron.
Yeah, because when she says no to inviting the little nice boy over, he's like, "Well, I'll give you a headache," And she's like, yeah. Well, then I'll take she's an like, Advil.
I'll take like 10 T3s.
Yeah, I'll put you right to sleep. And he's like, right. Next time. Another time then.
Your Baron really sounds like Nixon. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty Nixon-y. It's just growling. It's just growling and just moving your cheeks around. The trick is which cheeks am I moving around?
All right.
All right, that's it. Let's get out of here. That's chapter 53, everybody.
But that's the end of the chapter with this whole little headache exchange back and forth. This is a short chapter. This episode's about 3 times the length of the chapter. But, you know, some of these chapters in the end here, we've got about, give or take, 10 or 11 chapters left in this book. We got some short ones. We got some long ones. There's going to be some stuff like this. But I'm hoping we get back to Trout Boy soon so we can have some more just bananas Children of Dune action, which I'm coming to love. And yeah, that's it for today. Give us a follow on the socials, Chapter by Chapter Podcast, and we will see you back here tomorrow for chapter 54 of the Children of Dune.
Hello everybody, it is me, I am back, I am no longer remote, and I am here to thank the 3 most important people to this show. I feel like I almost stumbled over like all my words there, but that's okay, we got there. Anyway, Nikorn, Big Cheese Daddy, Hildur, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do to support us. Thank you for being on our Patreon. Thank you for being our Gouda Grandmasters. We can't do this without you. And if you, dear listener, you want me to sit here and thank you with from the bottom of my heart, then head over. See, I'm stumbling over my words now. Now head over to our Patreon. The link is in the description. Pick a tier and get 3 bonus podcasts. Three? No, you get weekly. Why did I say 3? What is going on with me? Get weekly bonus podcasts where Steve and I yell about everything from True Detective to the new Fallout series and Mistborn and all kinds of crazy stuff. We're clocking in at around 100 episodes for the Patreon just by itself. That's just so much value. So much value. So much content for you to dive into. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you again tomorrow.